If you have your Bibles, we are going to be starting in the book of Luke in chapter 2. Book of Luke, chapter 2. And we'll start with verse 8. And we'll be following in the footsteps of Linus, I guess, if you will, and reading some about the Christmas story. I would say that it's a pretty familiar scripture for this time of year, but I do want to read it, and then we'll talk about a couple of the verses specifically, and really try to expand out upon a particular topic, if you will, or a particular element of the Christmas story then, and how I hope that we can apply it to our lives today. The book of Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8, and it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." And we'll stop there at the 20th verse in the second chapter of Luke. And so we are probably pretty familiar with the events of Jesus' birth. It's something that is we talk a lot about, especially around this time of year. And so we understand just before this about the tax or the decree that went out for all of the nations, or really everyone within the Roman Empire, to be taxed. We see Mary and Joseph make their way from their home in Galilee or in Nazareth into Bethlehem, where David's family was from, his ancestry. That was his hometown. We know that Mary was heavy with child, even though she had not consummated her marriage with Joseph yet. They were espoused. They were engaged, as we would say today, although their engagements at that time were a much more serious commitment than what we recognize today. And so they had not had relations such that a child should be on the way, and yet it was. And God had revealed to both Mary and to Joseph separately that this child was from the Holy Ghost, and that this was the Son of God. And so they made their way into Bethlehem, and as they made their way there, I'm sure that this was not their intention. I'm sure Mary was probably not excited to be going to Bethlehem, which was not her home, as she was expecting this child probably very soon. And sure enough, as they made their way to Bethlehem, the time came and the child was to be born. This was not their plan. Joseph and Mary did not have it in their minds that this baby was going to have to be born in Bethlehem, I don't believe. God just made the event such that the tax decree came out at that time, and they had no choice, really. They were forced, if you will, as Judea at that time was in control of the Roman Empire. They had no choice but to follow the decree of Caesar Augustus to go back to Bethlehem and to be taxed and to be counted for a census. As they got there, I'm sure Mary would have loved to have had the baby in the comfort of her home, but instead, there was no room for them at the inn, and so they had the baby in a manger. We recognize that probably this was a stable, a barn where the animals were located. It could have potentially even been a cave of some kind that was used as a stable for the animals. It was not a place where you want to be birthing your child, and yet there they were. It was a very humble, lowly place for a child to be entered into the world. And so at this time, or shortly after the birth, in just outside of Bethlehem in the fields, the angel comes and reveals to the shepherds there. And these shepherds, there was nothing special, if you will, about these shepherds. They were not part of the religious elite of the Jewish community. They were not the expected people. They were probably not in the field waiting for the birth of the Messiah. They were keeping the sheep. That was their job. They were probably some of the lower members of the Jewish society. They were probably not highly esteemed. Their work was probably not paid that well. They were probably, as we would call, maybe the lower class in the society at that time. And so the angel appears, and a great light, where it says that it is the night. It says that they were keeping watch over their flock by night. So when the glory of the Lord shone round about them, we understand that to be a great light. There was a great bright light in the middle of the night. There's an angel. They're afraid, as I'm sure many of us probably would have been as well, or would be today if a similar event happened. And so we understand the angel's message, and the angel says that to not be afraid, to fear not, that he brings good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And we'll come back to that verse 11 here in a minute. But we see that the angel tells them the message, and the heavenly hosts ring out, and they sing, or the praise rings out. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then just as they appeared, they vanished. It says the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So the shepherds probably counter to what they had been told and what they were supposed to do in their jobs of watching the sheep. It says, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And so they go to Bethlehem. And how they found exactly where Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus were, the Bible doesn't tell us if they were guided to the exact spot, or if it was enough of an event in Bethlehem for this baby to be born in a manger that they were directed towards where the baby was. So they found the babe lying in the manger with Mary and Joseph. And then I want us to go to verse 17. And it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And so I guess really the thought for the message today came from a song. It's probably one that many of us have heard called "Go Tell It on the Mountain." And "Go Tell It on the Mountain" is actually there. We don't know who wrote the song or who wrote the melody of the song. It is an African-American spiritual song, one that was probably passed down from generation to generation, just orally through from one family to the next. It was finally compiled by a man by the name of John Wesley Work Jr. And so because from what I understand, he had a desire to compile a lot of these songs, these spiritual songs that from the African-American community. And this was one of the ones that he compiled down into a book of some kind. And it dates back at least to 1865. So it's been around for a little while. But the words of the chorus of the song, if you will, it says, "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." And we see that the shepherds, that is what, when they recognized what had happened, when they went to Bethlehem and they had seen the babe lying in a manger, it doesn't say that they went and told it on the mountain, but it does say that when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And so when the shepherds found the babe lying in a manger, they didn't just keep this information to themselves. Now Mary, it says in verse 19, it says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's not the only place where it says that about Mary. A lot of times she was seeing these events that were going on around the child. And she had been told that this child was going to be the Savior of the world. And I believe that she had faith to believe that. But how it was going to actually happen in life, I believe, was a mystery to her. And so she would see these things, and it says that she would keep them and she would ponder them in her heart. Some people speculate that Luke was able to write down some of these events because he actually talked to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she related to him some of these things that she had kept in her heart. And then after Jesus had already been crucified on the cross at Calvary, after he had already risen from the dead, after he had already ascended back up into heaven, and that there were people such as Luke that were inspired to write these words down, that Mary could have been a source for him. But the shepherds, they didn't keep these things to ponder them just in their heart. They went out and they spread abroad the things that they had been told. And so we see that it says the things, or the saying, which was told them concerning this child. So they saw the child, they validated, if you will, they verified that what the angel said was true. The angel said that this would be a sign to them, that they would know that this was the child that was being referred to, that this event was truly happening, because they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And this was not an everyday event. There weren't babies just being born in mangers all over the place around Judea. It was a unique circumstance. And if the shepherds had any idea of the Jewish teachings about the Messiah, about the King that was to come, about the Savior that was being expected by the Jewish community, they probably thought that this angel was a little bit crazy. Nobody in the Jewish community was expecting their Messiah to be born in a manger to people that lived in Nazareth of Galilee. This was not the entrance that they were expecting. I thought about in the book of Acts, where toward the end of the book of Acts, where King Agrippa was in town, if you will, and he was interested in Festus, the one that was the governor over that area of the time. He wanted King Agrippa to hear Paul. Paul was under arrest. The Jews were wanting to kill him, and they were trying to convince Festus to send Paul to Jerusalem. And they had some people that were lying in wait, such that on the way to Jerusalem, they were going to kill Paul. They were going to ambush him. And Festus didn't do that, but he wanted King Agrippa to come and to hear Paul. And the Bible talks about how King Agrippa and his sister Bernice, I believe is how it's pronounced, I could be wrong, that they were coming into town. And it says that there was a great pomp when they arrived, and there was this huge ceremony. And I'm sure that they arrived in this regal, royal apparel. And there was this big event, this big spectacle as they were coming into town. And I believe that's what the Jews were expecting for their Messiah, that it was going to be something noteworthy, that there was going to be something special, that there was going to be, their king was going to be born a king, not a baby lying in a manger in Bethlehem from Galileans. They didn't think a lot about shepherds. They didn't think a lot about Galileans. They didn't think a lot about Joseph and Mary. Joseph was a carpenter. Seems like probably he had some respect in his area, in his hometown at Nazareth. But this just wasn't what they wanted, and yet here he was. And so the shepherds, they wanted to go, and they wanted to see for themselves, and so they did. And when they did, they started to spread abroad the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. And so that thought to me, and Go Tell It on the Mountain, that song, it references the shepherds. It talks about how, and it just as Silent Night, as we sang today, it references the shepherds. And it references this event that we talked about, that the angel comes and the angel tells them about the child. And the heavenly host, they sing out praises to God because Jesus has been born. And as I think about this, I want us to think about this idea of going and telling. This idea of and Go Tell It on the Mountain, if you will. It's in my mind, it's a joyful song, about a song to that Jesus Christ is born, and there's this excitement, there's this thing inside of us where we just want to go out and we want to tell the world, we want it to ring out from the tops of the mountains so that the word will go to every ear in the world that Jesus Christ is born. Now, we're in the year 2020. We are in the Christmas season. And you may recognize that Jesus Christ being born isn't necessarily ringing out from the mountaintops at this point in time. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want us to, as often when I want to encourage the church to think about these things, I don't want us just to think about it being their problem, that it's the people that want to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. It's the people that want to just remove Christ from every place imaginable. And there are people I know that they want to have Christmas, if you will. They want to have some of the secular parts of the holiday, such as trees or exchanging gifts or other things that are talked about at the Christmas time, legends, and we won't get into those today. They want to keep some of those things, but they don't really want it to be tied to the birth of Jesus. They don't want it to be a religious thing necessarily. They want it to be something that can be celebrated by people regardless of their religious beliefs. And anyone that believes in any God or any gods or no God whatsoever can do a lot of the things that we see and do around Christmas time. But this idea that Jesus Christ is born is not something that everyone wants to talk about. But I want us to go a step further and recognize that Jesus Christ being born is also something that within our churches, within God's people, is not necessarily the thing that is ringing out from our lives. And I hope that can change. there's a limit to how much we can influence the outside world. And we know that the Spirit of God really has to be in it for us to be able to have any effect whatsoever. We preach the gospel, and we have to rely on the Holy Ghost to really take that message and drive it into the hearts of people that are hearing. If we're going to talk about Jesus Christ being born, and we recognize that Him being born is just an element of the gospel, an important element. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God, as we get back to verse 11, and I'll get there in a minute, some of the details there. But it being a part of the gospel, when we say Jesus is born, it's a piece of the broader life, the broader story of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's a joyous occasion. Jesus being crucified on the cross at Calvary, it can be joyful for us in the fact that we recognize what it represents, but oftentimes it's more of a somber, it's something that brings us kind of grief and pain because we recognize what our Savior went through. There weren't angels coming when Jesus was being crucified and talking about how it is it's good tidings of great joy and how it's peace and goodwill toward men. It's all part of the same story. But this event, this was the beginning, and it was a joyful beginning for the people then and even people today to recognize that Jesus Christ is born. And this is such a wonderful thing because of all the things that are going to happen afterwards. Because He was born of the Holy Ghost. Because it was a virgin birth. And the Son of God came to be flesh. It was the beginning of a plan that had been conceived long ago of how a sinful people such as mankind, humanity, could be reconciled with a holy and righteous God. There was a plan that would allow God to be gracious and merciful and still be just. And here is that baby. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself as I talk about this, because there's a few points that I want to make about the story, about Jesus Christ being born. And just as the shepherds went out and they spread abroad the things that they were told about this baby, I want us to spread abroad. I want us to go and tell it on the mountain. But there's a few things that I recognize that maybe are keeping us back from doing so, that are hindering us from it. And I say us, I am included in the conversation. I don't have any one of you in my mind that I think I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to us, and I'm preaching to those that might listen to this message on the internet at some point in the future, to those that we might be go telling sometime down the road. And the first point, the first thing that I want us to consider is the importance of the message. Because you see, we're not going to go and tell it from the mountain. We're not going to spread it abroad if we don't recognize how important it is. I am going to try to not be up here and be a Grinch about Christmas traditions and those things. If you have a Christmas tree, if you have Christmas stockings, if you tell your children certain things about Christmas and who's a part of it, I might debate you about some of those specific things, but I'm not here that's not the point of my message today. But my point is that throughout whatever things are a part of your Christmas traditions, that through it all, shining out as that beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining out as that glory of God when the angel was talking to the shepherds, shining out above the noise, above the commercial part of it, above the traditions, above the stories, above everything else, Jesus Christ is born. And if He's not, if within your family, if the way that you're teaching your children, if the way that you're approaching Christmas, if Jesus Christ is born is not what shines out, if that is not what they are going to remember the most about Christmas, I would encourage you to think on these things. Because if all those other things were stripped away, if we were in a position and if a house burnt down and the things that we would normally have in our house, the decorations, and I'm not here to say you shouldn't have Christmas decorations, but if we couldn't have them, we couldn't have the tree or the stockings or the lights or the candles or whatever it is that you may put out. If we were in a position and we couldn't wrap presents or and give them to others and couldn't receive them ourselves, some people may not be exchanging gifts this year because they may not be seeing family. But if all of that was stripped away, if we didn't go to a single store and hear the Christmas music playing on the intercoms as we go and buy our things, if we didn't have the internet and the devices to hop on and to do our online Christmas shopping this year, as many of us may have done, if all of that was stripped away, we could still have the most joyous celebration that Jesus Christ is born. We talk about how that's what Christmas is all about, and I'm always weary or leery of the sayings of the things that people say, just because I'm afraid that sometimes we hear them so much it just it doesn't resonate, it doesn't hit home, it doesn't mean what we want it to mean, to say that that's the reason for the season. That's what Christmas is all about. And those things are true for those of us that are professing Christianity, for those of us that say we're followers of Christ. He is the reason for the season. His birth is the reason that we celebrate. Yes, it is what Christmas is all about if you celebrate it because of His birth, and if that is what you are celebrating. Because there's all these other things. There are celebrations. There are times, and the thought came to me as I was thinking on this of we talk about the Christmas spirit or Christmas magic, and people, they want that. They want this this celebration that has this magical element to it that takes people that are grumpy throughout the rest of the year and makes them not so grumpy on this time of the year. Well, I don't want you to be grumpy, but it's not going to be some sort of mystical magic that's going to do it. But Christ being born, the Savior being here, hey, that's important. We don't have to be grumpy because we're His. And it's important. It's important for us to know. And what is it? The shepherds said that they spread abroad, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What is it? What is the saying that was told them? Well, that's verses 10 and 11 where the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And I think this is the primer. This is the angel. First of all, he's having to tell them, stop cowering in fear. And he tells them, don't worry, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to kill you. I'm not the angel of death. I'm not here to tell you you need to be doing a better job watching these sheep. I'm here because I have good news. I have good tidings of great joy. And it will be to all people. It's not just to you. This message was not just relevant to the shepherds. It was not just relevant to the Jewish people. You see, Luke, he was the gospel writer that really had an emphasis on the Gentiles that the gospel was going to get spread to in the coming years. And I believe that that is probably something that was on Luke's mind when he penned the words down of this angel, that it's good tidings of great joy to all people, to all nations, not just to the shepherds, not just to the Jews, not just to those that maybe had previously enjoyed God's presence and being God's people, but it was going to be good news. It's good news for us all these years later. But what is it? And the verse 11 is, I think, where we really get the meat of what it is. Why is it good news? Why is it good tidings of great joy to all people? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there we have it. Jesus Christ is born, as the song goes, that Jesus Christ is born. That's what we're proclaiming from the mountaintops, right? Well, that's what the angel has said, that that the child is born, that is born at this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there's three words there that the angel uses. He says that it's born a Savior. We use the word Savior a lot when we talk about Jesus. It's one of those words that is continued on throughout time as we proclaim the gospel message, that He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the Deliverer. He's the new Moses. Moses delivered His people from bondage in Egypt. Jesus delivers His people from bondage of sin. He is the Redeemer. Redemption was paid through His blood on the cross. But this is the beginning. This is the joyful occasion that this message, this idea, we'll go on to the next word. It says, which is Christ. Christ being the Messiah, the Anointed One. And this message, it was so joyous that there had been generation after generation after generation. There had been prophet after prophet that had hinted at, that had gotten visions of, that had prophesied about a coming Messiah. The Anointed One that was going to be coming, the Christ, Christos, that was going to be coming. There had been many a people that had longed, and I'm sure prayed to God, to get to see the One that was going to deliver His people, and they had died without having to get to see Him with their own eyes. Many years had passed by where Jesus had been hinted about. This Christ had been hinted about. He had been prophesied about. They were looking for Him and looking for Him and looking for Him. And had the Jewish community really truly recognized that this was Christ, there would have been a huge celebration, because they had been waiting for Him for so long. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the angel says He's the Lord. That's the Lord. It was Lord was often used for secular rulers in that time. But it was also the common translation for Jehovah or Yahweh. He is God. He is the Messiah. He's the Chosen One. He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. And He's God, born in the flesh. It was pretty important then, and it's still really important now. We sang a song, "The Greatest Story Ever Told," and this is it, isn't it? This is, when we look at Jesus' physical life here on earth, and this being the beginning of it, that is the climax of all of history and future time. It's what the Bible from the very beginning was leading us to. And it is what the Gospels were talking about, and it is what the rest of the New Testament was in reference to. The greatest story ever told is the story of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And here He is being born. So it begins, the life of Christ coming to redeem His people, coming to deliver them from their sins. It's important. It's so very, very important. And it's not just important for us to know, but it is important for us to tell others about. Because there is salvation in no other. If this was just one of the ways, if this was just, we always are, at my job, we're always trying to figure out ways to do things better. But there's never one right answer. What we're always trying is one of many different ways to try to achieve a goal. To produce this component faster or cheaper or better so that it has less defects, so that it functions better. We're always trying to figure out how to sell to a customer better so that we can, you know, sell them more and run a business. That's how a lot of businesses work. You've got to be able to sell stuff to people, and they have to give you money in exchange for what you're offering them. And if that doesn't happen, your business isn't going to last too long in a lot of cases. So we're always trying to figure out how to do things better, and we're always throwing options out and trying to figure out what's the best option for the time. But Jesus Christ is not one of the, and hopefully the best option that is going to save people, that is going to deliver them from their sins. It is the option. It's option A, B, C, D, and all the way through the alphabet. There's no way to kind of get around it. There's no alternative. And Him being born is the good news that everyone needs to know, that He came, that this was the beginning of something glorious. That's why it was joyous. It's good tidings, and it's goodwill toward men. It was God and His love. That's why Jesus came. His love for us is why the Savior came into this world, and He humiliated Himself by taking on flesh, being born in probably a feeding trough of some kind. To be mocked and ridiculed and to die the death of a criminal surrounded by criminals. But it's joyous because it was God's love towards us. And so Jesus Christ is born. It's important. And I think we recognize it's important, but maybe sometimes we forget it, or it gets lost in the hustle and bustle. It gets lost, the importance of what we're talking about, the importance of the gospel, the importance that Jesus Christ is born. Sometimes maybe it gets lost. The next thing that I wanted to touch on is the fact that what maybe prevents us from spreading it abroad, from telling others about the news that we've been told and that we've experienced firsthand about this baby, this man, Jesus Christ. Maybe sometimes we forget the importance, but even if we recognize it's important, are we excited about it? Do we have the excitement that goes along with it? I think these shepherds were pretty excited. They'd seen an angel and this shining light in the middle of the night. They had some things to be excited about. And it was new. It was a new thing for them for this angel to come and to speak to them. Probably these shepherds had never had an angel speak to them before. It didn't happen that often in this way. And the message was so radical. It was so different from what they would have been expecting. That Jesus Christ, that the Lord, the Savior of mankind, was a baby in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Not, I'm sure, what they were expecting when they went to the field that night. It was this amazing message. And they saw it. And they saw the baby, and so they spread it abroad. I believe there was an excitement there. And it was the excitement of maybe something new, something noteworthy. They were getting to be, when there's something that we're really excited about, sometimes, and it's just something, we're eager. And sometimes we're eager for people to get to hear it from us. And so we go around and we call people up, or we go and visit them, and we say, "Hey, have you heard about such and such?" And if they go, "Well, no, I hadn't heard about that," it's almost like there's a little light bulb inside of us that goes off, and it's like, "Aha, I get to tell you." I want there to be that excitement, right? And the shepherds had that. They were spreading abroad the things that they had heard and seen. And it says that they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then it says that they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. But you know, it says in verse 18, and it says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Some of this was becoming the talk of the town. What in this world are these crazy shepherds talking about? Have you heard that they said that Christ the Messiah is a baby, and he was born in a manger in Bethlehem? Oh, is that right? Could this be? Surely not. Why? They said an angel appeared to them in the middle of the night, and there was this bright light shining, and this is what the angel told them. Were they drunk? Did they fall asleep and have a dream? Or are they just trying to tell a story so that they can get some attention? The people didn't know what to think. They wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But you know, some of them, it probably piqued their curiosity. There was some excitement about what was going on. I'm sure there were others. There were three wise men from a great far away that wanted to come and see Jesus. Now, they weren't there at the manger, though we might have it in our little manger scenes. They came a little bit later, from what we understand. But there was an excitement. And the story is not new today in the same sense. This story, this message that Jesus Christ is born has been told before many, 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 many times over many, 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 many years. And as such is life, and such is how we often see things, what is the talk of the town one day slowly fades into the background over time. I don't like gossip. I believe the Bible teaches us not to gossip. I believe the Bible teaches us when you're excited about the news and you want to go tell your neighbor, make sure that news isn't something bad about such and such or so and so. I believe the Bible warns us about those things. But if you've ever been on the receiving end of gossip, if some event that's happened in your life or in your family has become the talk of the town or the talk of the church, I hope not, but we live in a fallen world, and I think all of us recognize that these things happen. But what you also probably recognize is that over time, that fades away, and people forget, and they move on to the next thing. That's exciting. And so here we are, roughly 2,000 years later, and the message isn't new anymore. Still just as important as it ever was. Still just as capable of completely transforming people's lives. Still just as joyous to know that God, the creator of the universe, loves mankind, loves people, and sent His Son to be their Savior, to be their deliverer, to be their King. And so I want us to be excited. I want that little light bulb, when if we can ever find someone that hasn't heard it, or maybe hasn't heard it as much, and even those that have heard it, that we still get to talk about it. I've mentioned it before, but you know, I think there's a lot of good, a lot of value in us talking about church, if you will, to talk about these things. It probably would do us a lot of good within our families and within our church family to talk about these things, to talk about what it means to us, to talk about Jesus Christ being born. It's certainly important for our children, for them to recognize, for them to see it being meaningful in our lives and important, for there to be an excitement about it, that they will get the bug, if you will. I better be cautious using that term in 2020. But that it'll catch on, this excitement about Jesus Christ being born. And it'll be something that they'll be excited about and that they'll want to tell their children about someday. And he'll be someone that they'll want to put their trust in someday. Because I don't want you, I want you to go and I want you to tell it. But I don't want you to go because I told you so. I want you to go because you're excited. There's all sorts of books out there about persuading people and affecting change. I was listening to a webinar about this author that had written about, you know, how to drive change, and because that's part of what I try to do in my job, and we have to try to figure out how to get people to change in places and areas where change is needed. But it's not an easy thing to do. People don't like to change a lot of times, and so there's all these books about it. But all the research and all the things that people do about persuading and influencing and affecting change, a lot of times what the research will come back and tell you is that people do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. And it's true. It's true. It's true in organizations. It's true in churches. And so I can tell you, I can beat on this book board and tell you how important it is and tell you you need to go out and tell people, but unless you want to do it, unless you're excited about it, it's probably not going to happen. And if it does happen, it's probably not going to happen the way that we want it to happen. Because we want to be excited about it. And if we're not excited about it, if it's not something that is exciting to us, when we tell people, it's probably not going to be exciting to them. It's not just something to check a box. We don't go and we don't tell people. We're not fighting against people to say happy holidays so that we can get them to say Merry Christmas. If they're not excited about Christ being born, I don't really care that much about whether they're telling me happy holidays or Merry Christmas. I want them to be excited that Christ is born. And if they're excited about Christ being born, they can greet people how they want to. I want them to have a happy holy day and a Merry Christmas because Christ is born. So I want us to be excited. The last thing I wanted to touch on, and I think the thing that perhaps trips us up most of all, is if we know that the message is important, and I think most of us do, and we need reminded of it, we need reminded of things often, because if we're not reminded or if we're not careful, they slip into the back of our mind, and it's more of a subconscious thing. We know it's important, but it's not front and center. And I want us to be excited about it. But even if we know it's important and we're excited, I think oftentimes what really catches us from going and telling it on the mountain is that we just maybe have lost the belief that it's going to do any good, that it's going to be productive, that it's going to be effective. I think this is oftentimes the biggest stumbling block for me in situations is I'm afraid that I'm going to push too much, that if I just try to throw Jesus in somebody's face, that they're going to recoil and they're going to go the opposite direction. Because I've seen that in some cases. I've seen it where someone, and sometimes that maybe their heart is in the right place or they have good intentions, but if you're trying to hog tie someone up so that you can shout Jesus into their ear, it's probably not going to be having the effect that you would like it to. And so we live in a world where people have heard it so much. They've heard people going around and saying Jesus is the reason for the season. And they've heard it. They've been saturated with this idea of Christmas being more about than just exchanging gifts and these other things. And so we don't necessarily feel like being another voice in this chorus of voices that is saying these little sayings that people have. We don't always think it's going to do any good, that it's not going to change someone's mind. Telling someone about Jesus Christ and being excited and talking about how Jesus is born, it's not going to have an effect because they already know it. So what good does it do to tell them again? And in that, I guess I have just a couple thoughts. I often think, and I was reminded of that again, and I think I've told the story here before of a flight that I was on, and I think I was flying back from Seattle to Nashville, and it was a pretty full plane, and so I think there might have been a seat between us. There probably was, so it wasn't completely full, but there was a boy, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 years old, and sitting on the plane with me, and he was listening to music or playing a game or something, I don't remember what, and I had a little bit of time, and I had my Bible with me, and I was reading in the Bible, and certainly not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I don't have my Bible open with me everywhere I go, and so I don't want you to feel like that this is anything to do with trying to toot my own horn. In fact, I'm pretty discouraged and ashamed of how this situation turned out. I didn't know how to respond to the boy. He didn't know what the Bible was. And because he asked me what I was reading or whatnot, and I said, the Bible. And he was like, oh, what's that? And I told him it was, well, I said it wasn't just one book. It was actually a bunch of books. It was, you know, 66 books compiled together. He was like, oh. And I could just recognize that this was just not something that he was familiar with. And I was just awestruck. And there are so many things I wish I had said to this boy that I didn't say. And I think about him when I think about all these people in the world that have heard about Jesus Christ being born and all these many times. And that boy may or may not have heard the name Jesus Christ. He may or may not have heard that Christmas is, we celebrate it because we, at least I celebrate it and many other people celebrate it because it is the birth of our Savior. It's what we celebrate at this time. I don't know if he knew those things or not. But there was certainly a lot that he didn't know that I wanted him to. So they're out there, church. They may not be in the people that you come into contact with in your normal everyday routine. Maybe they are. Maybe they're your coworkers. Maybe they're people that you interact with when you're going about your daily activities. Grocery shopping, if you're still going into the store. Or just getting parts for your car. Or getting something from a store somewhere. Or getting your tags renewed on your car. Going to vote. Whatever the things it is that we're doing. Maybe those people are still out there. We live in an area. I guess Smith County is really the only place I know of that can give Macon County a run for its money when it comes to at least missionary Baptist churches being in the area. As far as I know, they're the two counties of anywhere I know of that have the largest number of those churches. I used to joke in Macon County that you could stand on the porch of one church and you could throw a rock and hit the next one and you could just do that all across the county. And that is an exaggeration, but it's not too far from the truth if you look at the number of churches that are in that the square miles that make up Macon County, and Smith County is not too far from that. And we recognize that Jesus Christ being born is not just something that is told in missionary Baptist churches, but that there are many other people out there that at least recognize that and celebrate that. I pray that they truly know Jesus as their personal Savior, not just the Savior that's out there. So this area probably has more people that know the story than other places. But yet there are still probably people in this county that may not know it, not to the full extent of it. And if you're ever out of the county, some of us live, and I say Smith County, this church is actually in Jackson County. Jackson County has very few missionary Baptist churches, which I find kind of odd, as close as it is to Smith, but that's just how the population has been spread out over time. But if you don't live in Jackson County or Smith County, and some of you don't, many of us go to other places and to some of the bigger towns for some things. And as you get out into Nashville, I can tell you that there are many more people that probably don't know about Jesus Christ, at least not fully. Maybe they've heard about him being born, I don't know. But I want to encourage us that there are still those out there that need to hear that message for the first time, or at least really to understand some of the details of it for the first time. There are certainly those out there that need to be reminded of it. It's probably good for all of us to be reminded of it. But as we think about it, I want to encourage you maybe to think a little differently about what you tell people or how you tell it. Let's not just give the greeting card answer of the reason for the season, or that you shouldn't be saying happy holidays. You shouldn't be trying to take Christ out of it. But let's tell them why. If we're going to say Jesus Christ is born, why do you care? We do care. We should care. We should be excited about it. And let's tell them why. And make it meaningful. Make it personal. What is it that Christ has done in your life? The shepherds made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They had a special event happen to them when this angel appeared to them. And the angel told them, and I'm sure that they spread abroad the saying of this child. And I'm sure they told people about that angel and the heavenly host and all the things that they had seen. And I'm sure it intrigued people, not just because of the message of the Savior, but because of the personal experience of these shepherds and what they had witnessed. And so, as we think about wanting it to be productive, wanting it to be meaningful, wanting people to listen to us, not just to drown us out, not just to see us as another voice that is trying to yell at them or to condemn them. It's good news. We're spreading good news that He's the Savior of the world for all men, for all nations, for all beliefs. It doesn't matter what you have believed before. It doesn't matter if you have never believed that a God existed or believed that a million of them exist. He can still be your Savior if you put your faith in Christ and Christ alone. And we all, for those of us that truly know Him, we have something personal to share. Jesus Christ is born. And what that means to me is that I have a king. It means that God loves me and wants better for me than what I deserve. It means that He knows what it's like to be a man, to be a person, that He can relate to me in a very personal way. There's a verse in that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, that says that, let me make sure I get it. It says, He made me a watchman upon the city wall. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. So go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, while we have a song.